Hi, you're listening to the Android Guys podcast. My name is Scott Webster, and I'm here again with John. What's up, John?
Hey, Scott, how are you doing?
Cold. It is very cold here on the, well, we're not really East Coast, but...
East Midwest.
Yeah, it's cold just about everywhere.
It is.
So, we were talking about topics to discuss today, and this one kind of landed on our lap. This is something that people use every day on their phone. There's no getting around it. Well, I mean, maybe you could get away without using it, but we're talking about the keyboard on our phone. We use those for text messaging, social platform updates, emails, just about anything you're going to type at some point on your phone throughout the day. And keyboard is something that you can really come to hate or get complacent with over time and kind of grow bored with it even. I know sometimes if you go with what the carrier or handset manufacturer gives you, you know, you might like it out of the box. You might like it when there's a software update, but then you might get tired of it. You might feel like it's ugly or you don't like the changes. So... you had mentioned to me earlier this morning you thought your keyboard actually had changed. You thought that the size of it or the layout or something was different. So we went to looking into it to see what the options were, and that kind of brought up the idea of what we would talk about. So we use the Google keyboard, or as they call it, the Gboard, and it's preloaded on our phones. We both have Pixel 3 line of phones. And it's on a lot of phones, but it's not pre-installed or set as the default for all phones.
Right.
So even iPhone offers this as an app. It's available in the Play Store that if you want to get your own, set it up on there, you can do that. But I wanted to talk a little bit about what makes Gboard so awesome, really. First, foremost... flexibility in terms of different keyboards that I've played with over the years. You know, way back when Android really started to take off and keyboard apps showed up, there were a few of them. Swipe was a big one.
Yeah, because that was a really fun one to start using pretty early on.
It was interesting to drag your finger and kind of swipe through things and pound out a message quickly. It reminded me of the early days of using like T9 text messaging, where you could do it one hand and not have to worry about, you know, seeing what you're actually doing. You can actually just kind of feel blindly for what you were.
Yeah.
And if you were swiping, you kind of knew where you were going to go with the letters. You can just drag these almost like muscle memory to write words out.
Right. And it actually took a long time for swipe, that technology, to become a standard on other keyboards.
Right. It was almost proprietary type. I don't know if it was patented or anybody had a lockdown on what that was, but it's cool. I liked it and I got used to it, and I would find myself kind of swiping through some of the longer words rather than typing out with two hands. But as phones got bigger, I think that's where I kind of naturally went away from using a swipe. I was with a one hand experience with like a 3.5 to 4 inch display size, swiping with one hand felt right. But when you get into something that's, you know, 4.5, 5, 6, you know, in excess of 6 inch displays now, it's not easy to do that one handed, drag it around. So swipe is one thing that I liked, and it kind of went away. But that's one of the features that is inside of Google Keyboard. And that's just, you know, kind of jumping all over the place here, but the ability to kind of change the keyboard, not in just terms of looks, but like functionality. If you like to tap, you can do that. If you like to swipe, there's actually handwriting. You can go in there and draw basically with your finger or a stylus if you're using it on a tablet. Morse code. So if you wanted to and you actually know how to type Morse code, you can tap out messages that way. layout in terms of, you know, we here use QWERTY, Q-W-E-R-T-Y, but there are other ones that you can do. Languages, you can change the language. Obviously, we use English as a default, but then there are, I don't know how many languages are in there now. I could have looked that up, but to actually set that up, you know, right off the bat, the out-of-box or default setting, you know, kind of like, it works for everybody, by and large, yeah. But you can really start to drill down and play with that. And as Gboard has evolved and added new features, we've seen a lot of cool things. Tell me, with your phone, how did you set your keyboard up, or did you set your keyboard up?
You know, I usually just take whatever it is out of the box and just kind of rolled with it. Then today, every once in a while, I've seen where I've accidentally hit something and it goes to a different size, or it starts to float, or it's kicked off to a side and I have to hit the buttons of full screen. So I think one time a couple of years ago, you showed me how to add a photo as a background
right
to my keyboard, which was kind of cool. And then, you know, I've went to them before with some of the preferences, like, you know, go into, like, if you're on Android, I mean, on iOS, I think you go into the settings and then keyboards and input, and it's not too different on Android. You go to settings, you go into your keyboards and input, and then you can go through all your keyboard settings. There's a lot of options in here, and I think with the Gboard, one of the things I personally like about it is Google tries to be very global, and so, you know, we're talking about the languages, they have a lot of language options. I did adjust my theme. I thought that was pretty neat, and you can do that right inside it. You can do, like, different gradients, dark and light gradients,
right,
and then landscape. I did that, and it's just, it's very subtle, but it's a nice look. It's a nice change. I also changed mine to where it has the outline of the buttons
right
on there. And that made a really nice look to it. And it kind of looks good either way. Another thing that, in terms of, like, the language we're talking, is to show the emoji switch key. So if you're ones that use an emoji, you can have that as a key right on the keyboard. But if you enable it, the language switch key isn't shown.
Right.
Like, I know my brother, he'll type in different languages, so he uses that international key. So, you know, I think that's kind of important. And then you talked about, like, the one-handed mode.
Mm-hmm.
You know, now with some of the larger phones, they've opted for that one-handed mode, either to the left or to the right, where it shrinks the keyboard down and pushes it to one side, so it makes it a little bit easier.
Right. So let's talk about theme. That was one of the first things that I really... that drew me into Gboard when it was released as a standalone, was the ability to go in and just kind of change the background. When you're looking at, you know, the standard white or off-white, you can switch it to, you know, a lot of people like a dark theme or a dark setting. Those are obviously settings you can do, but they recently added some gradients. And when we're talking about this, this is under the Gboard settings. You go into theme, and then you'll find there are colors, landscape, which is nice because there's a lot of images preset. So they have different types of colors that you can use, but they essentially will be the backdrop to your keyboard. And now you have light gradients and dark gradients, and quite a few, not just like here's, you know, six that we like, but I'm looking at light gradients alone, and I see more than 24, and under dark gradient, I would say the same. So there's a lot of preset stuff that you can do, and then if you don't like any of those, you can go in and create your own by picking a picture right off of your phone and setting that as your backdrop. Really cool stuff. And you can, as you indicated, you can change the keyboard so that if you want the spaces, or I'm not sure what they call them on here, on yours, keyboarders, that's what they're called.
Yeah, that's right, keyboarders.
So that gives you the ability to kind of like separate those a little bit more. So that's theme. And just by doing that alone kind of changes, like every time you open up your keyboard to type something, it's kind of refreshing if you're looking to just change things a little bit without really impacting or completely undoing everything that you're used to. That's probably one of the easiest and perhaps best ways to kind of go about doing that.
Yeah.
You talked a little bit about the ability to do a smaller keyboard for like the one-handed. You do have that as a setting now as well. If you want to do that, you can go in and create it so that your keyboard basically shrinks, and you can say, I want to set that to the left or to the right, and I want to kind of drag around where I want the keyboard, just so that you can reach with one hand. If you're right-handed, you slide the keyboard over and it kind of takes up a lot less space, and then you can, that's where you can do that swiping. If you want to do the, they call it the glide trail, you could create that glide typing one-handed thing if you really want to do that where you're not like tapping it. That's a nice feature. So if you have a larger screen, you know, a lot of these phones are getting into, you know, 5.5 to 6 inches routinely. And if you like the ability to kind of swipe, you know, that's something you want to also look at. The height, that's another feature, or setting, I should say. If you want to go in and actually say, hey, how tall of a keyboard do you want? Do you like to shrink everything down just so that you have more real estate at the top and you don't, you know, obscure what you're reading by having this large keyboard? Under the preferences, that's where you can go in and change a lot of things. If you want, some people type a lot with numbers and they need to, you know, if you're doing email, you can have the number row, and you can turn these on and off anytime you want so that you have a dedicated number row. If you wanted to change the keyboard height, there are, it looks like, 5 settings. You've got anywhere from short, mid short, normal, mid tall, and tall to kind of change the way that looks.
And then it has like the key press, right? And so you can have whether you want that sound to click on a key press. Sometimes people want that audio feedback.
Right.
To know. I know I prefer the just the haptic feedback. I do like having some sort of response.
Right.
When I am pressing the keys, tapping on the keys, whether I'm, you know, swiping, gliding, whatever on it. But the other one I thought was kind of neat, and I see this on, I think iOS has this by default, and I think Samsung is a long press for symbols.
Mm-hmm.
You know, so sometimes if you have those symbols that you may use, like for a password or for something else, it can be handy to use if you know, that's something that kind of comes with being normal typing.
Right. And that's something that a lot of what you find on your phone, or for me, it just comes from accident. You know, we've done it on computers for years. If you accidentally hold down the control button and click on something, you see that it acts differently or behaves differently by, you know, holding down Alt and scrolling the wheel and doing all these little things. You know, they're shortcuts. And that's the same for phone. I've come across a lot of things within Google that they don't really come out and say, hey, we have all these things, but they kind of make it kind of discoverable. If you hold down, you know, on the letter E, for instance, you can pull up and see all the different variations of E if you wanted to put an accent on there. If you're trying to type something, you know, you want to put the word resume in there and put the proper accent on that, you can do that.
Yeah.
A lot of that, you know, that long pressing is going to bring stuff up. Same thing with the home screen on your phone. If you just long press on your phone, that's where it pops up, says, oh, do you want to add a widget or do you want to change your wallpaper settings? You know, that I think sometimes people take what they're given and don't realize that, you know, they're one shortcut away from changing something completely.
Right. And I think with the long press, like if you go over the numbers, if you've ever had to hit a fraction and you hold, if you have the keyboard, the numbers up, you long press on, you go like 3/3, 3/4, or 1/2, 1/4, and super fast doing that instead of doing 1, you know, slash, forward slash, backslash, 2, you know, to make that, those fractions, they can do it really, really quick right inside of a long press, and it's done in a, you know, moment.
Well, and that's something that you don't realize you might use once in a while, but then there are people who use it a lot, and that's a game changer for them. to go in there and say, hey, you know what? I can actually be much more efficient with my time and feel like I can do some of these emails and send off measurements or any type of, you know, numbers or characters that you don't have to go back to a computer because, oh, I don't know how to type that on my phone. I need to sit down at a traditional PC or something that's got a more feature-rich keyboard.
Yeah.
There's a lot of that just hiding in there. You mentioned the sounds with the feedback. You know, by default, a lot of times phones will have that, you know, you just start tapping on a message and you hear that tap, tap, tap. If you're really flying through your messages, you don't want to hear that. The people around you don't want to hear that.
Don't hear it either, right.
You know, so to turn that on, turn that off, to set how long you want something to be for a long press. If you want to just be much quicker about how long do you hold down a button, or do you want it to be more pronounced? Is it, you know, something that pops up that says, you know, there's some real intent behind this. I'm not accidentally long pressing as I think before I type the next letter. You can adjust that as well. One of the really cool features that I've come to like is how well it integrates stickers and emoji.
Yes, Bitmojis. So much better now than that used to be. To have that integrated into the keyboard has been amazing. You hold down the emoticon or the emoji button and it can pull up all your options. Or the Gboard, if you press the Google key up top, it gives you the options between files, emojis, stickers, GIFs, and so forth.
Right. And that's something that a lot of times, you know, I respond to people with animated GIFs, pictures, reactions, memes. You know, that's really cool in the Google keyboard. That's something that you can search within that, pull up, share that right away without having to go to a separate app. In the, you know, not long ago, we would have to open up Bitmoji, find the one we want, and then share that with somebody.
Right.
You know, share to the keyboard, share to the contact, I should say, as a message, where now it's integrated right into it. And Google even has their own now where you can take a picture of yourself and it'll create little characters, versions of you, like cartoon type things. We've tried this before. I don't really care for them. I think they're kind of odd looking.
A little odd, yeah.
But you can make it look like you if you wanted to. Really, some cool things that just kind of hide through there. If you haven't used Google Keyboard or Gboard for your Android phone or your iPhone, definitely check it out. I know that this, the stock stuff that comes with all devices are pretty feature rich, and you're going to find a lot of overlap between them where, yes, I can still do that with my Samsung keyboard or the one that LG preloads. I can do some of that stuff. But for me, the Google one is the one I return to over and over again. Are there anything else feature-wise, or is there anything else that you can think of that might convince somebody who hasn't, didn't even know it existed? I could think of a couple of other things to throw out there, but I didn't know if you had any.
Well, myself, I think Google does a really good job with the speech and the voice trends. The voice, what do you call it?
To transcribe, voice to text?
Voice to text. They have a really good voice model, and I think they do a really good job with that. And I think having that available from Google versus maybe some of the other ones is going to work a little bit better. And then having contact suggestions, which you can turn on.
Right.
You have to enable it. That's it. Your keyboard have to have access to your contacts. But as you're typing within about, you know, any form, if you're trying to text somebody, it can grab that contact and shoot it off, which can be really big time saver.
Especially if it's somebody's name who's not common. Somebody who, you know, you type in the first name, it automatically recognizes, hey, this might be the last name that you're going to type, or present a couple of options. Mm-hmm. That suggestion stuff, the contact suggestion, and just the general word suggestion, I think, is great. Google's stuff lives in the cloud, and it's always updating. You know, the same thing with maps and their directions, and everything is kind of like always improving, always getting better, and iterating and adding things as time goes. One feature that I can think of is the personal dictionary. So if there's certain words or certain things that you want to add, that's nice. Like if you're doing a password or something that you wanted to save, that you something that you enter a lot, right. And of course, offensive words. If you want that, you're more than welcome to go in, and it's just a simple change of setting. You know, slide from yes to no or no to yes, and then the words that you start to type. By default, Google will kind of filter that stuff out. And even if you're using voice to text and you drop a couple bombs in your message, they'll put the little stars in there because it doesn't want to type that out there. But if you turn that off, you can go in and start to put the words in there so that people don't get a random duck in their message. But they know what you're trying to say. There's a lot of really neat stuff, and I feel like I've said that a few times now, but if you haven't had a chance to kind of configure your phone, if you're just getting a new phone, it is now, as John's playing with his phone and his voice settings and his sound settings now.
Yes, my apologies. Do you have it on Do Not Disturb, but the calls are coming in.
That's all good, man. So if you're getting a new phone, you know, it's about to be, you know, what is commonly referred to as flagship season, and a lot of people are going to buy new phones, or you know, you just got one recently for Christmas and you're trying to play around with it and kind of make it unique to yourself, and you want to make it your phone. The keyboard is an easy way to kind of configure, personalize,
make it your own.
It'll make a big difference. I think it sounds like I might overstate it, but I'm trying not to. But just by changing one or two things, the next time, you know, you go to bed and wake up the next day, you go to type a message, you're like, oh yeah, this is really cool. And you know, don't be afraid to kind of play around with that. You can reset everything. You can go back and just kind of go with, hey, you know what, I've kind of tinkered with this thing and I don't know how to get back. You know, play around with that, find a setting that you like. If you have something that you recommend, I'd love to hear it. Feel free to reach out to us and tell us how you've customized your phone or your keyboard. Shoot us an email at podcast@androidguys.com. I want to thank you guys for listening to the podcast. If this is one of your first time checking us out, you can find us pretty much anywhere you would normally subscribe to your shows. Google Play, Stitcher, iTunes, Pocket Casts, anywhere you can go out there and find us. We would appreciate it if you subscribed. If you have any comments, feedback, suggestions, anything related to the show and specific to this episode or broadly, what you'd like to hear us talk about, feel free to reach out to us. Until next time, John, this is a lot of fun to get together and talk and just kind of go over things a little bit different than hitting the news. If you know, in the past we've tried different formats of podcasts. We've done this, we listened to some of the original audio. We recorded shows, you know, almost 11 and a half years ago. And I think one of the formats that we like most is just the casual conversation. You don't have to recap the news, you don't have to be super timely, but we want to be more informative and informal. And just kind of entertaining. That way you can get a little bit more out of your devices. You can find podcasts on tech stuff all over the place, and there are plenty of great Android podcasts out there. We want ours to be a little bit different, so we've been playing around with the format. I think we kind of found something that we like, but if you guys want us to do something differently, you know, definitely let us know. We would appreciate any type of feedback. Until the next episode, I will see you guys.
Take care.